Hi, this is Ashley Gallagher from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus Student Edition, a podcast series dedicated to pharmacy students. This month, I spoke with Matt Gibbs, president of Capital RX, to discuss independently owned PBMs.
What sort of careers are available at a PBM?
Okay, so for pharmacy students, I am proud to say that we've had a residency program. Oh gosh, it's at least 2 years. Well, it's got to be 2 years because we've only been around four. So the last 2 years, and you know, we bring them in, they go on the rotations to meet all the requirements to be an accredited residency program. And what I, you know, what used to, I did a fellowship. So I did the 2 year deal after pharmacy school, and I had to fight to get hired where I was at. And it wasn't because I wasn't good at my job. It's because there in the past, and again, you remember when I said I graduated with the 19 number in it, it was sort of like, oh, you know, you've been here, but you haven't been anywhere else. And so we really don't want to hire someone that green. I think that is like the dumbest philosophy, and it's still out there pretty predominantly in the pharmacy community, that wherever you do your residency and fellowship, you may have a chance of getting hired, but it certainly isn't a serious guarantee. And to me, that's the biggest mistake you can make as an employer, because we train, we educate, they get exposed to all parts of the business, from sales to operations to clinical to understanding all those components. And I can say with pride, we've hired the two immediately post-residency that we have brought in. And both in this case, this is a nuance I wouldn't have expected, went right into client management. So they really had the ability, they were extroverts, they were wanting to meet with clients. They don't mind the travel, because that's another part that's hard for some pharmacists, you know, depending on what their work-life relationship is. It can be difficult. We travel 30 to 40% of the time post-COVID. I shouldn't say post-COVID because it's still here, but post-lockdown. So I think that is a direct route for students to always look at. Internships, which I believe are not mandated in managed care. I think there are some of the pharmacy schools that do have a managed care rotation. When I was in there, you had to find your own. There was no place that offered one. You had to fill out all this paperwork and get it submitted to be a rotation. So I know it's improved some. But again, pharmacy still is a big advocate for retail and hospital. And that's the core of the practice of pharmacy. And I will always respect that and understand it. But there is this huge unmet need out there in the managed care space to have more clinical representation and to have more pharmacists view in organizations. I mean, they're literally called pharmacy benefit managers, right? So it only makes sense that pharmacists should be a part of that. And I mentioned in terms of the roles, a typical entry level are not the ones I mentioned, coming right into client service like our two residents did. It's typically in our utilization drug therapy management side of the house, or in our prior authorization team where they're reviewing medications, and then they can move on from there.
What can students do while they're in school to educate themselves about working at a PBM?
Yeah, I think I earned my black belt in that, because there was no Google when I graduated. I had to go to all the trade shows. So whether it's AMCP, ASHP, APHA, you know, you can name them all, and going to their residency forums, going to the booths, and not just collecting your pens and backpacks and squeezy balls. That's all fun when you're a student, but actually meeting with the people at the booth that work for a PBM, asking them about their job, like what were they, and the really great thing to do in those settings, because they're those giant trade shows, is those people want to talk to people because they're standing around all day, and you can learn about where they have been, what different careers, because most people in PBM have bounced around, or there's been tons of acquisitions, just like retail. So it's a great place to really learn a ton of information. You just have to really pull it out yourself. Academia, my personal opinion, has not totally caught up with the curriculum on this. Again, most people in academia and pharmacy are not from managed care, but managed care pharmacy, in my opinion, has the greatest impact or potential impact on the U.S. population of any other role. And the reason that is when you sit on a P&T committee of any PBM, you're helping make and shape decisions that affect thousands, if not tens of thousands of patients. And while that interaction that you have at a retail pharmacy counter or at a bedside at a hospital at discharge are very important, and they're at the single patient level, that shouldn't be the sole definition of what patient care is. I love the fact when I don't agree with something that the business folks think makes sense with math, and I can prove them wrong clinically that it doesn't make sense, that I've just impacted thousands and thousands of people with that decision. That's something you cannot do in any other setting.
As kind of mentioned before, pharmacists are sometimes skeptical of PBMs. So how can students keep an open mind about this career path, especially while they're still in school?
I got to be honest, and maybe it's changed, Ashley, but I remember graduating pharmacy school and it was all about like, well, who's got the highest salary out there? Is it hospital? Is there a retail shortage? Is pharma hiring? Those were kind of the discussions, right? So I would definitely encourage anyone to look into, any of the PBMs. You know, I would encourage mid-market, but the big guys as well as an entry point. And looking at what some of the average salaries and bonuses and stock and things that come with those positions that you just don't get in the retail and hospital setting. A lot of hospitals are non-for-profit, ergo there's no stock, which means there's no long-term equity. A lot of retailers have very, very modest bonus programs. And you can find in the PBM side, you know, to me, as a student, you're coming out, you got debt, you're not sure what you want to do. You might as well do something new and make some good money while you're at it. So, you know, I know there's this global view that everybody wants to change the world when they come out of any education, not just pharmacy. But at the end of the day, I think there's a kernel of truth in everyone's head that, boy, wouldn't it be great if I could pay off my loans 5 years earlier. So I would encourage any student to just look at the roles that are out there online, whether it's a prior authorization pharmacist at a PBM versus, you know, entry-level retail pharmacist versus hospital pharmacy dispensing. Those are all items that you can kind of line them up and then realize, oh, wait, there is no on-call at PBM. There is no after hours. There is no overtime shift. These are all the added things that allow you to use your brain and not just your feet. And I think those are the key missing parts that I ask any student to look at. And they're going to have to do it on their own, because I still generally feel that the universities and College of Pharmacies, I wouldn't say they are negative about it, but they're not pointing a beam of light on PBMs or managed care. Let's just call it managed care as a landing zone for most pharmacy schools.
Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus Student Edition. Tune in next month to hear more about the latest trends and issues for pharmacy students.